My name, Ross Wheeler, 84 years old. I lived in Malden this last 84, at least 70 years, more than likely 75.
Okay, so when you first came to Malden, Ross, you were a young boy.
Well, yes, I don't know when I came, which year or anything like that. I haven't got any records. But no, I started my life down in Wiltshire, Collymore, Kingston, during the war, and came back after the war because my grandmother had the fish shop, and father joined her in the shop. We were living in Gate Street at the time.
Right. So you moved from Wiltshire up to Malden to be closer to family.
Yes.
And automatically joined in the business.
Yes.
Can you tell me how that business was set up originally, the fish and chip shop?
That I don't know.
Great Gran Bash, as we called her, because her first husband was Basham, and that was her name.
Great Gran Bash.
Basham, yeah. Yes, her name was Basham, but we all called her. I called her Great Gran Bash. Very strict. Very strict. Came in the house and you stood where she left you. Oh, I didn't know. Yes, you came into her house and she said, "Stay there," and you stayed there until she said, "You may come in."
And was she the one that started the original?
She was.
Shop?
Well, yes, she was.
That was quite enterprising in those days, was it, for a woman to start up a business?
Yes, it was also a wet fish shop, as well as being a fried fish shop.
Yes.
The wet fish shop was on the left-hand side, and the range for the wet for the fried fish and chip shop was be sort of just at the side, but behind, if you understand me.
Right.
You came into the shop and queued.
And you remember that? You remember?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes. Very clearly.
Did you help out in the shop at all?
No, I don't think so, except for carrying things in and out. Mm. If she ran out, she and I was there, she would call me to go and get this, go and get that, and it was an order.
So when you were first involved, Ross, it was wet fish and fried fish?
No. I didn't see the wet side of it at all.
Right.
But more than, I mean, I don't suppose I went into the shop. I mean, obviously, it's only just around the corner from where I lived. I don't think it was the wet shop when Father went there.
Right.
Mm. Do you?
Mm.
Oh, it was it?
Oh, it was. Yes, it was still, but it was closing down because he remodernised the shop.
That's right, yes.
And, of course, when he remodernised, he did away with that and took away the big glass window.
That was on the side, wasn't it?
It was.
That's right, yes, I remember. Yeah, but I don't remember the wet fish shop. I remember where it was. Yeah.
Part of the shop, of the cleaning room and the storeroom for the potatoes, is still in the yard at 13A.
Right. Yeah.
The yard is still the same.
Mm. So presumably he converted it into all fish and chips because perhaps he was making more profit out of that side of it rather than the wet fish.
He had visions and he could see a good restaurant, which he did, and it
later
it
on,
worked.
No, I started my working life in Tiptree, Anchor Press.
Okay.
I was a compositor. And then, of course, at 18, I went into the army.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 years. Came out. I went in 55 into the army. Came out in 57, September. Carried on working in Tiptree. Then I moved to Chelmsford. And then moved up to St Albans. I was married at that time. We had our first daughter in St Albans. And then Father was getting... the business was growing. And he said, "Do you want to join me in the, you know, in the shop.
Roughly what year was that?
That must have been in... Susan was born in 59. So that must have been either 60 or 61. That's 61, I should think. Yes, in 61.
So that was a big decision for you, wasn't
it? Yes, yes. And then we moved down to Queen's Avenue.
Ah, okay.
Yes, yeah. Burwood we lived in.
Oh, right.
Yes,
So was that a difficult decision, giving up the work that you had been involved in for many years to join the family business?
No, it wasn't difficult. I couldn't see any way forward in the, you know, compositing because that was changing. They were going over to digital even at that time.
So I guess it came at a good time for you.
It did come at a good time for me, yes.
The family business. And at the time you said the family business was expanding and
that's right, yes.
He needed someone else to help. So when you joined in, did your dad have to train you in what to do,
or did you know automatically? Well, no. I mean, father was quite strict, and I had to do it. As obviously, I didn't know how to fry fish or. But I soon had to learn, and yeah.
And at the time, there was the fish shop on one side and the restaurant at the other.
No, that came later, in about 70s, I should think, in the 70s.
Mm.
Right. I have got photos of it, but I can't find for the life of me find where they are. Mm. But that came. We bought two properties. There was a house adjoining the shop. High Street side, and also there was a property came available around the back of the toilets. You know where the toilets are? Well, the old toilets, anyway.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, beg your pardon. Yes.
Best toilets I've ever seen.
I do know exactly what you mean now.
And I mean, obviously not toilets now, they belong to Blue Ball. And so father bought that property, and the two properties were made into one, and father and mother lived there.
Right.
Mm. And we had the restaurant.
Yes.
And underneath their living quarters.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So again, that was a big change, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was, yes.
Was it successful right from the start?
Yes, it was, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a hell of a mess, but because it's an old building.
Sure.
We found some old... somebody who lived there before was obviously a musician, and they left some... music in the walls and everything sheet music in the walls. And we found some stamps on the wall, fleur-de-lis ones. We've covered those in, and they're still behind the behind the plaster. And in the back of the toilet building there's an old window, and the architect we had to have architects down there to see what we could do and what we couldn't do. And the Chelmsford one said, he said, that's one of the first glass windows that they, put in houses.
Wow.
Yeah, but,
That's
special. That's still there, yes. Mm. Yeah.
And also they discovered that years ago, the property had been a hostelry.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So either of you know the age of that property? Want to hazard a guess?
Well, it used to belong to Blue Boar.
Right. Renée, can you tell me a bit more about the family history? You mentioned the Clark family.
Yes, the Clark family was Annie Clark and Edgar Clark were brother and sister by different fathers. And Edgar Clark eventually had a fish shop down the High Street, 112.
And that was fish and chips?
That was fish and chips.
Yeah.
He also did wet fish.
Oh.
It was a strange shop because you went into the shop where the fried shop was, but to eat in his so-called restaurant, you went out the back to an outhouse where he had trestle table and stools.
Oh, my goodness.
But he did a roaring trade of fish and chips. And he also smoked haddock and kippers and all sorts of fish in a side.
And again, you remember that shop quite clearly.
Oh, yes, I was there during the war.
Right, so we're talking about wartime, yes.
Yes.
When did it finally close down then?
When they built Tesco's.
Yeah.
Tesco's took it over. Right. It was a compulsory purchase, wasn't it?
No, it couldn't have been Tesco's.
It wasn't Tesco's.
No. Tesco's was farther up the street, wasn't it?
Right. And Fuchs stand on the property now.
Yes, but I don't know how long they've been there.
I don't.
No.
To me, I can only remember Fuchs being there. Yeah. But we lived above.
Right.
Because I stayed there.
Mm. Mm.
And again, very strange property the way it was laid out, but that's how properties were.
And again, were you, as a young girl, were you helping in the shop at all? Or was that not allowed?
Well, no, I wasn't connected, and Ursula was never allowed, Edgar Clark's daughter.
Mm.
And Ursula would have turned her nose up because she was quite the lady. She wasn't into people. I loved helping, as I did in my father's shop, but that was in London and Harrow.
So was there a bit of competition between that shop and Wheeler's? If they were both doing the same thing?
Oh, no.
No.
No. No, no, they encouraged. If you didn't want to go up the hill, you know, Auntie Vi, Ross's mother.
So Wheeler served the top of the town.
Yeah.
And Edgar served the bottom.
The lower part, yes. And were both shops doing takeaway at the time?
Yes.
Yes, oh yes, yeah. Yes.
That was probably the main
That was the most,
part.
It was, actually,
wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, George's was a very posh restaurant. It was lovely. It was really, really classy to go in there to have your fish and chips.
But it was your father, George.
But to go in Edgar's was more spit and sawdust, where you'd sit at the table. It was spotlessly clean because they would scrub the table and all that. But it was, more... The soldiers, during the war, they would go more to Edgar's.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But not into George's so much.
Yeah.
So, Ross, when did you finally take over the whole business yourself?
To be quite honest, I can't remember.
Was it when your father retired?
Oh, yes.
He retired.
Yes. Yes.
Done his number of years in the shop.
I know it sounds awful, but I just can't remember. Mm. I put it down to age, actually. But
And when you were running it, did you presumably had staff helping you?
Oh, yes.
How many staff would you say?
At one time, I had some of the time there was two of us frying, plus a counter hand. So that's three, two rather. And then waitresses in the restaurant, they always used to have two on the go. So four or five.
And where did you get start with potatoes? Where did the potatoes come from?
Mainly from Rayleigh, Smith at Rayleigh, or Battlebridge, I suppose it is now. Battlebridge, I suppose. Yeah. And fish used to come from Grimsby.
Did it?
Never saw the chap who delivered. He got a key, and he used to come in about 2-4 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Every day, and all fresh.
Yeah.
Unlike it is these days, I'm afraid. But
So he came in every day. You had a delivery every single day that you were open.
Yeah. Yeah, which was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, okay. and Saturday,
mm.
Because there was no fish landed on the Sunday.
Mm.
The first landing of the fish was on the Monday,
mm. Mm.
and yes. so we had it the next day.
So there was a story about news.
Grandmother.
Newspaper. You were saying. Yes. Renee.
During the war, we used newspaper as the outer covering to keep the fish warm and to stop the oil coming through. And if you went into Auntie Annie's shop and she'd say, have you got your paper, and you hadn't got your wrapping paper, she would say, that's a penny in the box for our servicemen. And she raised a lot of money,
yeah.
and it went into the national newspapers, and Wilfred Pickles had a show, and he came down and interviewed Annie, and she was on the programme talking about her boys, as she called them.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Mm. That's lovely, lovely.
Ross didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So any other little stories that you can think of about running the shop and serving fish and chips day after day after day?
No, I mean, when the restaurant first opened, we had an award for the best fish and chip restaurant in Great Britain.
In Great Britain,
It was
wow.
Robert Carrier. He brought a yearly book out. You know, restaurants and you know. And we had that for
that's
a year.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Do you know, did he ever come and eat in your restaurant?
I don't think so. I mean...
One of his team probably did.
Or recommendations, mm. you know, like it would be...
That's fantastic. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
The best fish and chips in this country.
Yes.
Wow, yeah. You must have been so proud of that at the time.
Yes, yeah, well, obviously we were, yeah.
Yeah. Increase the trade even more.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I suspect it was... people wrote in.
Yeah.
Respect.
Mm, yes. Really good.
Yes.
And when you yourself finally retired from the business, was that a sad day?
Oh, yes. I miss people. Mm. Obviously, you know, over the counter.
Mm.
I know a lot of faces, but I don't know many names.
Mm.
Like the lady at the bottom of Market Hill. More than likely I know her.
Mm.
But the name.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't leave names.
Right. And presumably you had some very regular customers that came in very frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we have the campsites in Haybridge, Goldhanger Road, we had quite a few people come down from all over, you know, for the weekend, every weekend, because they got the caravans there.
Mm. I have.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And they used to, we used to know what they want. You know, you see them at the end of the queue and you just put a couple of bits of skate in or whatever there was, and the time they're there, it's done.
Before then, can I go back?
Mm.
When my aunt started the caravan site, she and used to go into George's, it was his father's then, and she would ask him to prepare the fish and chips for the campers, and she would all come down because they had a car and other people didn't, and I'm talking of 1939 onwards, and she would take it down to the campers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was from 1939 onwards.
So can we backtrack a bit? So it was your family that bought the land for the campers?
No.
How did that work?
Aunt Rose, as she was, she and her husband and two other families of Knight, there was Perham, Knight, and I'm not sure of the third family, they started camping on the field, which was years ago a potato field, and they used to leave their kerosene fires and their tents and some bedding palliasses, as we called them then, mm-hmm. in the farm with the farmer opposite yeah. for a shilling a week, and they would replace the palliasses with fresh straw when they came down, and then they started the camp. And as I say, she would go into the right. shop and order the fish and chips mm. because mm. they only had the little tiny kerosene lamp to heat and give them their cooking mm. facilities. Mm. Mm. That was in 1939 onwards.
Was it? Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Started in 1937, yeah.
OC. So, let's change the subject yep. completely, Ross. Tell me about table tennis and how long you've been playing table tennis.
Table tennis, right, I started when I was about 16.
Yeah. Where did you start?
White Horse.
Yes.
There used to be a bakery there.
All right, yeah.
We had a room above the back of the bakery. You could only get to it by climbing a ladder. And that's where I started my table tennis.
You said we. Was it a youth club or...?
No, it was... Well, it was... It was. Yes, it was a youth club. It wasn't called, obviously, a youth club, but it was more than table tennis club. But and then another move, we had down to the back of the Rose and Crown, and then another move down to Heybridge. You know, before you get to the caravan sites, there's some brand new high-rise flats, aren't there?
Yeah.
On the right-hand side. Mm. Well, before they came, at the back there was some office buildings, orifices, and we had a big room there. And now we're at the Draper's Farm. On Goldhanger Road, where the rugby club is.
So you've been playing. You started as a teenager,
yes.
and you've always played non-stop. Yes. And
still, still
playing.
Still playing. But obviously, girlfriends came into the picture, yeah. and marriages and children. Mm. But I couldn't play while I was working because I worked every night. Mm. And so, but since I've retired, there was about a 30-year gap, I suppose, between finishing yeah. and starting again. But no, I mean...
Is it the U3A group now?
U3A is down at...
the various U3As, aren't
yes, there? Yes, there's about three or four now.
So what... Yeah. This is still the Malden tennis table tennis
yeah,
club.
Yeah,
okay, down at Draper's Farm.
Yeah,
okay.
Which we play in the old piggery.
Oh, that's lovely.
They used to breed pigs there.
Mm.
It's over a little bridge, and we've got that, and we have that 24 hours a day,
right.
so we can go down there anytime,
yeah.
which we do.
And keeps yeah. you fit.
Oh, well, I don't know about fit, but it does, it helps, okay. yes.
And going further back again in your mm-hmm. past, I believe you were a choir boy.
Yes. All Saints, choir boy, carried the cross. For my sins, well, not about my sins, but not then. But yes, I used to be a choir boy in All Saints,
And so that went on for a few years.
Yes, I must have been about 14, I suppose, when I started.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then I left when I started work, I suppose.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you sing solos?
Oh no! I was never that good. No.
Right, back to you, Renée.
Right. I'm the oldest of Ross and myself, and my father, Montague, was George's cousin through Frank Basham, was my dad's grandfather, and George Wheeler was his cousin through Auntie Annie.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's my connection. That's your connection.
And as a girl, you used to come to Malden.
Oh yes, I came to Malden. I would stay with Uncle Edgar, and then I would stay with Auntie Annie, and in the fish shop, above the fish shop. Mm. And my grandfather also had a fried fish and chip shop in the Elephant and Castle. So the family kept on fish and chips until my father died.
Yeah, so very much a family speciality then, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you've obviously got happy memories of coming to Malden and the holiday time. And
oh, gosh, yes.
You said you were playing with Edgar's daughter.
Yes, Edgar Clark's daughter, Ursula.
Mm.
Mm. And that was my freedom. If I came down to Malden, I could go with Ursula down to the prom.
Yeah.
Whereas in London, you can't go anywhere alone.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people say about their younger lives here, that there was so much freedom. You could go off for the day and it was all safe and no problem.
Even during the wartime, you were safe.
Mm.
And there were lots of soldiers, but they were gentle and just acknowledged you as a child.
Mm. I mean, I used to, when I was young, when I was at school, I used to go fishing around Beely. I mean, I used to go fishing at night around Beely when I was 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think parents would think about doing that these days.
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm. Walking around Beely, I mean, there's nothing.
Right, final question to both of you. Do you both still love eating fish and chips?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
The best meal ever.
And do you frequently go back to what was Wheeler's?
Yes. You I do. Was there 10 days ago. I brought some home.
Lovely. Yeah. Thank you, both of you. Right, we're continuing a little bit because there's a lovely story about Ursula's underwear.
Yes.
So, really.
Ursula was Edgar Clark's daughter, and Ursula's mother was Winifred Petchy, and who was had a sister, Dorothy, and a brother, Bill. Bill became the fire superintendent. And I believe he's retired or...
Oh, yeah, no, he's gone. Yeah,
he's gone. Recently. But Dorothy was the late Queen Mother's lingerist, made all her underwear and nightdresses, and especially for the Canadian tour. And Ursula, she would make her... matching nightdresses and petticoats and little panties from the remnants of the material that she had used on the Queen Mother.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was envious.
I bet you were envious, yes.
I was.
Yes, and it was beautiful fabric.
Oh,
it was
just out of this world.
Yeah.
It
That's
was.
Lovely, thank you for that.